Morning, everybody. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 17. Continuing on our little mini-series of God is working in our wilderness experience. And I'm looking at four main reasons why we wander away from God. And last week, we looked at the temptation of sin draws us away. So we're all tempted every single day. We choose yield to the flesh and sin, right? And sin brings forth death, destruction in our life. Or we yield to the Spirit and we don't sin. And so we looked at that last week in Genesis chapter 3. And then we also looked at Luke 15. So today, here's the next one. I want to spend a lot of time on this today. Tired of doing the right thing according to the Scriptures. So you keep doing the right thing over and over and over again, and you feel like nothing is happening. And that causes you to wander away. So let me look at some major areas that we do according to the Scriptures that we can grow weary in doing. And the first one is jot down, speak boldly for God. Speak boldly for God. Look at 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 1. Now, before I get there and read it, let me give you some background. Some of you may know where we're at. Some of you don't. All right, so remember who was the first king? Saul, 40 years. David, 40 years. Solomon. But Solomon drifted away from the Lord. So the kingdom split in 931 BC. Israel and Judah. Israel would have 20 kings. They're all wicked. You're going to see the seventh king here, King Ahab, through this series, through this message today. He's the most wicked. It's about 874 BC. Baal worship in Israel is prominent. God is pushed out. There's hardly any. Matter of fact, Jezebel, we'll read today, the king's wife, she's destroying all the, killing all the prophets of God. So that's the scene. Verse 1, and Elijah, his name means Jehovah is my God, the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, again, that's the king of Israel, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And if you go to 1 Kings 18, it's talking about God. God said, look, because you have drifted away from me, it's not going to rain for three, and it would be obviously 3.5 years. It won't rain. It was judgment. So this is the king. It's like you going to the president of the United States saying, Mr. Biden, President Biden, this country has gone away from God. They got God out of the school. They teach evolution instead of God is the creator. God is the sustainer. Jesus is the way. So you got to think what he did. That's exactly what he did. He was so bold for God. Now, two major areas where we're supposed to speak boldly for God. One is in spreading the gospel. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says this, but you shall receive power that after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall be my witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, let me ask you a question. Have you been witness to somebody for a long time, and they just don't get saved? And you get tired. You get tired of like sharing the gospel with different people. And I've been witnessing these people forever. Do you know I shared the gospel with my mother for over 20 years? And the night before she went into surgery, she got saved. And then she had a massive stroke on the table. And she never recovered. And at the end, she's trying to hold on. She was in hospice. I said, Mom, just go. Go be with Jesus. You're going to be a better place than I am. You think of Aiko, prayed for Mike for over 20 years. 20 years sharing the gospel. And then last year he got saved. He's growing. Now he's there in the ministry together. They're working with the kids. So my first thing to you this morning is don't grow weary in sharing the gospel. Right? The Bible says that, you know, Jesus looked over Jerusalem and he wept. And he said the harvest is ripe right now. He send laborers into the harvest. Pray. You are the answer to somebody else's prayer. Don't go weary. The second thing is, and I'm going to call this saint rebuking, or trying to edify a believer, instructing a believer. Hebrews 3:13 says this, but exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened to the deceitfulness of sin. So you see a brother, a sister, a family member, a friend going away from God. And it's our job, as the scriptures teach, in love, taking the mote out of our own eye first, right? Going in love, going to restore. and telling them, but yet you tell them over and over. Maybe you're a mom, maybe you're a dad, whatever. You tell your kids this, and they drift away. I was talking to a mom who was real discouraged, and, you know, trying to do the right thing, and she feels like a horrible mother. And I said, no, you just tell your kids, you know, they got to have to make their choices. They choose to go away from God. That's on them. Don't grow weary in speaking the word, even to believers. I know this this one person who I was in another church a long time ago when I first got saved. Man, he was so on fire for God. And he played the guitar. He sang. We did a concert at the church. Man, he blessed so many people. And then later on, I moved, you know, and went to a different church. And, you know, different things happen in your life. And this person I hear today, he's not even living for God. Actually, he goes and he plays like the kind of music that is the total opposite. So listen, don't grow weary in telling people about Christ, but be careful when people wander away, because you're going to wander away as a Christian. Sometimes it's an hour, sometimes a day, sometimes it's a longer period. But understand this, it could be you. So be careful. Don't judge people. Just go reach them. All right, the second area we can grow weary or tired, and according to the scriptures, not only speak boldly for Christ, but seeking God's leading by the Holy Spirit, but still suffering financially. Now watch this. Go start in verse 2 with me. It says, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Get thee hence and turn eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan." That's about 30 or 40 miles east. We're going to look at a map in a second. I handed you guys out a map. We're going to try to throw up on the screen, because it's important, the geography in these couple of chapters. "And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook that I commanded the ravens." Now, you've got to think about this. God's commanding ravens, an unclean animal in the Old Testament, right, to feed Elijah. You know, the ravens didn't even take care of their young. And God's commanding ravens to take care of Elijah the prophet. I just think that's funny. Listen, God controls all creation. Every storm, you know, it's so funny. I was praying this morning. I looked at the weather last night. And I said, "Oh, the rain's going to come in really heavy around 7 or 8 in the morning." I was like, "Lord, can you? I know Elijah prayed for 3 years. I'm just out for a couple hours." And then verse 5, it says, "So he went and he did according to the word of the Lord." I want you to see that over and over again. His life, he was said, "All right, whatever God says, I'm going to do." I mean, are we doing that? Whatever God said, no, we're just going to do it. We're going to be led by the Spirit of God and the Word of God, no matter what. "For he went and he dwelt by the brook Cherith, and there it was before Jordan." Verse 6, "And the ravens brought him bread." It's a general term for food. And flesh has the idea of boiled meat in the morning, bread and fish in the evening. You know, imagine, again, from a raven's mouth. "And he drank of the brook, and it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land." So God's taken to a place, and all of a sudden, listen, it becomes dry. He's like, "Wait, God drew me here, and I feel like I'm in the wilderness. Everything is dried up." Verse 8, "And the word of the Lord came to him, saying," again, he was directed by the Lord, very important, "Arise, get thee the Zarephath." So let me tell you about Zarephath. First of all, it was the major area of worship for Baal. He's telling him to go to the major area where there's Baal worship. It was Jezebel's hometown. Didn't make sense. And it was 80 to 90 miles. Now look at your map. Hopefully you get to throw it on the screen. This is important. Look at your map here that I handed out. So watch. He's on the east side of the Jordan River, number one, right? He crosses over to Samaria, and that's 17:1. He's talking to Ahab. He rebukes him. All right? And then you're going to see he goes up to Zarephath. That's 80 to 90 miles. He just went 90 miles north to this location, to this widow woman. And then you're going to see him. He's going to come down, right? And then he's going to end up at Mount Carmel, which is by the Mediterranean Sea. And then eventually he's going to go all the way down to Mount Sinai at the bottom of your thing there. That's like 200 miles. So when in these three chapters, you're going to see him travel a lot. And you got to remember, this wasn't like we didn't have cars, man. This guy was traveling in the midst of this persecution. It wasn't easy. That's why this geography comes in a big play here, to travel to like 70, 80 miles to a city that's Baal worship, and the queen, if you will, lived there. Didn't make sense. Verse 9, as he went to this widow woman, there sustained him. So he rose and went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering the sticks, and called to her. And he said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a little morsel of bread in thy hand. So give me a piece of bread. Verse 12, and she said, as the Lord thy God liveth. She was a believer. She was from Zarephath, Phoenicia. So she was a believer. The gospel was there, right? In a sense of knowing God. Obviously, Jesus didn't come yet, but in the sense of God, she is a believer. She goes, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel. It was like a clay jar, and a little oil in a cruse, which is like a saucer. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat and die. So this is our last meal. Verse 13, and Elijah said unto her, fear not. Now watch what he does along the way. He keeps encouraging other people. People are going to come to you in your life, and they're going to be discouraged. Last week, there's some people discouraged. Man, I was just like, come on, let's go on for God. You have to encourage them. Joshua, when he's taken over from Moses, fear not, be of good courage. And then watch what happens. He said this, do as thou hast said, but make me therefore a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. He said this, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel or the clay jar of meal shall not waste, neither shall that cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. So he said, look, give to me first, and who was he representing? God. Right? Keep giving, keep serving God. He's saying, keep doing that first. Sometimes we come to positions in our life, and again, serving God, giving, and all of a sudden it starts drying up financially in your life. It's like, oh, wait, I'm not going to give to God first. I'm going to take care of myself first. Right? He's saying, don't do that. So you grow weary in giving, weary in serving. Go back and serve God first and give to God first. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. She and her household did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord. So it wasn't Elijah's idea. Again, it was according to God's word. Now, Jesus said the same thing, Matthew chapter 6, 31 through 34. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall you eat? What shall you drink? Or where shall you be clothed? For after these things do the Gentiles seek, saying the lost people worry about those things. He says, for your heavenly Father knoweth you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Verse 34, take therefore no thought for tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So God promises, as we seek his kingdom first, he will take care of ours. So do not, listen, maybe you haven't been given, or you cut down and given, or maybe you cut down and serving. I'm not going to serve God. Look, I'm serving God, nothing's happened. No one appreciates what I do. Go back. Stop wandering. The Bible says this in Galatians chapter 6. Verse 9 and 10, let us not be weary or fainting in well-doing. For in due season, or at the right time, we shall reap if we faint not. As we therefore have opportunity, let's do good unto all men, especially unto them of the household of faith. So watch, if you faint and I faint, we're not going to reap the blessings of blessing other people, of now and later on, rewards in heaven. Remember, all the rewards are not here. They're coming. It's like, you know, when you're working out or doing something to try to get a goal, right? To try to win this trophy or whatever you're doing. You don't get trophies along the way. When you're working out and you're struggling and you're running the race and you're practicing over and over again, you don't get a trophy every time for that. But that's what we expect. No, it's coming. This is not our home. All the rewards are not given out here. All right, so what are the major areas we can grow weary in? Is one is speaking boldly for God, seeking God to lead by the Holy Spirit, but still suffering financially. The third one, separation from the world's ways. Look at chapter 18. Now, we're going to go to verse 17 in a second, but I don't have time to read all this. So here's what happens. Beginning of chapter 18. God says after 3 years, listen, I want you to go to King Ahab now. It's been 3 years, it hasn't rained. I want you to go meet him again. Now, there's this character, Obadiah. He's the governor with Ahab. And Ahab basically said, hey, you go try to find some green grass and some water, man. We need to feed these animals, and we're going to lose all our stuff. And so Obadiah goes one way, Ahab goes the other way. And then Elijah meets up with Obadiah, right? And he says to Obadiah, listen, I want to meet with the king. And he gets all scared because he said, I'm leaving, and he's getting all scared. If I go tell the king I want you to meet and you don't show up, I'm a dead man. Long story short, they finally meet. And here we are in 1 Kings chapter 18. And let's start in verse 17. And it came to pass when Ahab, he was the king, saw Elijah, that Ahab, the king, said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? That have you caused this trouble, not raining for 3 years? Watch his answer. And he answered and said, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house. Why? In that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed after Balaam. That's a plural of Baal. Remember, Baal worship was the rain god, right? For the crops and fertility and all that, right? And then he goes on to say, look, now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel. And the prophets of Baal, 400, and 50, and the prophets of the groves. The groves was the female counterpart of Baal, Ashtaroth. 400, which eat at Jezreel's table. So Abraham sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together. So there's probably thousands of people there, unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt, or hop, it's the Hebrew word to leap, or go back and forth, ye between two opinions. If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. You think that's crazy. Why would he say that? And the people answered him not a word. They were so entrenched in Baal worship, they were going to see if this God is powerful or Baal is more powerful. They didn't say a word. They didn't say, you know, we're going to follow God. I mean, you would say that, hopefully. They're going to wait and see. They were so corrupted. They lost their faith in God. They wandered completely away. Joshua challenged the Israelites many years before with the same question. Joshua 24:15 said this, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord? You know, that idea is like, you think it's so hard to serve God? He said, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served there were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So Elijah was teaching, follow God in his ways, not the world's ways. Be separate from the world and following the philosophy of the world. Don't be yoked, right, with unbelievers. 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 7 says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now think of the thing of a yoke of goat with a goat and an ox trying to plow the field. It can happen. Right? He goes on to say, look, what fellowship would have righteousness with unrighteousness? The opposite. What have communion with light and darkness? The opposite. What concord or agreement has Christ with Belial? Belial, another name for the devil. What hath part with he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. 1 John 2:15 through 17 says, love not the world. Again, the world system, the philosophy of the world. And I'll tell you, you see it right happening right before your eyes. The world's philosophy and system is coming after you. I'm going to read something in a second. Oh, it's a total it's going further and further, more liberal, no morals. The things that are in the world, if any man love the world, again, the philosophy of the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, we talked about this last week, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passes away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Right? So following God's ways, there's going to be a reward. You're going to get a reward. Now, we should spend time with unbelievers to reach them. Don't get me wrong here. When it says, don't be, separate yourselves from the world, it's talking about the philosophies. But the people, you still much, you must reach those people, right? But you can't yoke up in worship, in marriage, in business. You know, say you're a single person right now, and you're really growing weary of trying to find somebody. I mean, I've been waiting for a good Christian man, a good Christian woman. I've been waiting and waiting, and I'm tired. And I'll tell you what happens when you get tired and you don't stay focused on waiting. I know this woman, she recently told me, you know, she used to come a long time ago to this church. She's another state. And she goes, Pastor, I remember you telling me, don't marry this guy. All the people around me say, don't marry this guy. Because he was just saying things, but he didn't see desire. He goes, and she was like, out of fear of loneliness, I got married. I got tired of waiting. I didn't want to be lonely anymore. The person left. She goes, I wish I never married that person. I know another guy was in business, and he asked me, hey, a long time, is this person, I said, is this person, I asked him to go to business, is that person saved? Do you have the same moral principles that you do? Because you know what? When you go down the line, whatever they believe, they're going to start doing. And I'll tell you, people after people who got tired in this area and they made the wrong choice, don't do it. Wait. Be patient. God will provide. All right, the fourth area where we grow tired in is standing up for what is right according to God's word. Look at 1 Kings 18:22. Then Elijah unto the people said, I only remain a prophet and of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450. Now, in this context right here, he was right in the situation. He was the only one standing versus the 450. He'll use this again, and I'll show you that he was wrong. All right, verse 23. Let them therefore, give us two bullocks. Let them choose one bullock for themselves, cut it in pieces, lay it on the wood, put no fire under it, and I will dress the other bullock and lay it on the wood and put no fire under it. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the Lord God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. Sounds good to me. Verse 25, then Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves and dress it first, for you are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under it. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it and called on the name of the Lord of Baal from morning until noon. You'll see in a minute, it's all about 6 hours completely. O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was when made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he's pursuing, or he's in a journey, pre-adventure, or perhaps maybe he's sleeping. He must be awakened. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after with manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out of them. You know, satanic worship involves blood and doing those things. Yep. Verse 29, it came to pass when the midday was passed and when the prophecy until the time of the offering of the evening offering, which is about 3 o'clock, there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor anything that regarded it. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. See right there? They did not have a sacrifice to sacrifice in the Lord to worship God. It was gone. It was all gone. There was no more worship. He rebuilt it. And Elijah took 12 stones. This is interesting too. The kingdom is split at this point. Israel and Judah. He says, no, I'm going to take 12 stones. I'm going to bring He's trying to unite everybody to follow God here. Remember, Israel went completely off. They didn't have one good king. He says, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as it would contain 2 measures of seed. That's about 5 gallons. And he put the wood in the altar and cut the bullock into pieces, laid it on the wood, and said, fill 4 barrels with water, pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. So 12 barrels of water. And the water ran about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. Excuse me. So here we have, you know, him standing up saying, no, we're going to stand. You know, I'm going to show you that God is the God of all Israel and the God of creation. Now today, if you stand up for the Bible today, you're going to be persecuted. No doubt about it. Stand up saying the Bible is God's word and its principles in your workplace, you will be persecuted. Everywhere now. School. Isaiah 5:20 says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. They put darkness for light and light for darkness. They put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You stand up against abortion, you're going to be persecuted. You stand up against the marriage between one man and one woman, as God teaches in Genesis chapter 2. Right? You stand up for that. Albert Moeller Jr., he writes an article, quote this, they are coming for Oral Roberts University, and that means they're coming for you too. So let me give you a little bit of background. Oral Roberts was in the Sweet 16, actually lost by 2 points last night. But they were the first 15 seed, if they won, to go to the Elite Eight ever. So some lady now, she writes an article in USA Today. And he goes on to say this. He says, will Christian colleges survive? Will colleges and universities that hold to the historical biblical definitions of gender and sexuality and marriage be forced into the academic wilderness? What about America collegiate sports? Will conservative Christian school be ruled out of bounds? He goes on to say this. Just consider a recent article, For the Win, part of the USA Today Sports. The article will knock you off your feet, he says. It's an outright attack on biblical commitments and a public call for the NCCAA to eliminate Christian schools from postseason play, even from membership. The woman writing the article of For the Win, she writes that Oral Roberts' policy is described as discriminatory, hateful, a belief system rooted in fundamental Christianity that proclaims beliefs, quote, wildly out of line with modern society and the basic values of human decency. Yeah, see, now they're going to go after that more and more and more, and they're going to come after you as a Christian. And you're seeing it now in your own. I told you that, right? For the last 5 years, I've been preaching it. It's now coming. It's coming, it's coming, it's coming. Now, I might not believe all the doctrine of Oral Roberts University, but I know they believe. You know, they're against abortion. One man, one woman. You know, God instituted marriage. I love everybody. Listen, if someone is gay, straight, whatever, we love everybody the same. We're Christ-like. But once you get rid of the moral compass from the Word of God, we're going to be in trouble. We know God's word is true. 2 Samuel 12, 22, 31. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him. All right, the last thing where we can grow tired in is supplications to God in prayer. Look at verse 36, 1 Kings 36. It says this, and it came to pass at the time of offering of the evening sacrifice, that was 3 o'clock, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel. Watch this. Let it be known that this day thou art God in Israel. So he's praying now, right? He's asking for God to receive glory, that I am a servant, that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offerings and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal. Let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. And let me stop there because people have a problem with that. God said in the Old Testament, all false prophets should be what? Stone. right? Verse 41. God, by the way, God's not saying for us to do that today. Because people bring this up. God murdered so many people. Look, I just tell them, look, God was directing the children of Israel to do what he was going to do for his holiness. I don't understand it all, but he's not telling me to do it. I'm here to love my enemies, to tell them about the gospel so they can get saved. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up and eat and drink, for there's a sound of abundant rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. And he said to his servants, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went and looked and said, there's nothing. So when he prayed, fire came down like that. Whew! He prayed this. Now he's praying for water to come, and the guy's like, it didn't come. Right? So he says to him, there's nothing. And he said, go again 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time that he said, behold, there's arise a little cloud out of the sea, a little man's hand. And he said, it's like a little cloud. Go up and say unto Ahab, prepare the chariot and get thee down, and the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and the wind, and there was a great wind. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. That was about 17 miles southeast from Carmel where he was. And the hand of the Lord was with Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab the entrance of Jezreel. So God gave him extra strength to run before Ahab, and he got there before he did. Now, here's my thing. His first prayer, God answered right away, but his second prayer, I'm sure, hey, there's no rain. No, Elijah's praying, Lord, can you bring the rain? He's praying, can you bring the rain? 7 times, right? So here's my point with this. Sometimes we pray and we see an answer right away, but sometimes we don't. It takes time. God's going to say yes, no, wait. In his timing, according to his will, right? You think about Abraham and Sarah. They couldn't have a baby. They prayed. God gave them a baby. When? 25 years later. But they got weary in the process. And 10 years into it, you know what happened? Ishmael would be born. Right? So what I'm trying to bring this whole message is that we all, listen, everybody in this room, we get tired of doing the right thing in all these areas. Whether it's praying, witnessing, you know, staying strong financially, all of these things. And we want to wander away. Don't do it. And if you have, come back. Now let me give you some symptoms. You say, that's not me, Pastor. I'm going to give you symptoms that you know that if you have these symptoms, you've wandered away in some sort of fashion. Here we go, real quick. We stop doing what God commands and isolates ourselves. Look at 1 Kings 19. So here's what happens. We stop doing the right thing, and we isolate ourselves. Chapter 19, verse 1. And Ahab told Jezebel, this is his wife now, all that Elijah had done, and with how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. So now he's saying, all right, listen, you are going to get killed just like those prophets were. Now he had all this faith up to this time. This just shows how he's so real. But right now he's lacking faith. And so he goes and hides. He runs away. And he was so discouraged. And think about it. When you get discouraged and I get discouraged, what do? You isolate away. You know, maybe you go into your room and you stay there for a while. I don't know what you do, but you just isolate. You get so discouraged. Your faith is weak. You just drift away. You think about the disciples when Jesus was arrested. Right? What did they do? They're gone. They went to hiding. You think in Acts chapter 12 when James's head got chopped off and Herod Agrippa said, well, I like that. They go after Peter. What did the disciples do? They all went and hid. Even when they were praying for Peter and knocked the door, like, no, it can't be Peter. So number one symptom is your lack of faith is you want to pull away. I think even this COVID time, people have drifted away. Number two, we wish we can die and go be with the Lord. And you say, oh, no, Pastor, I never thought of that. You know how many people have thought of that? I talk to a lot of people. maybe in one particular time of your life or more than that, you said, you know what, I'm tired of this world. I'm just tired of everything. I just want to go home. And that's not why you should go home, though. When Paul said he was so walking close to God, you know, he wanted to be with the Lord. That's not the same thing. Look at verse 4. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. So he went further away from God. He came and sat down unto a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he may die. Jonah did the same thing. Remember when Jonah wandered from God's will? Jonah 1:12. He's on this ship. There's this storm. They realized that, hey, that Jonah's the reason why. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall thy sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. He said, you know what? Just kill me. Just throw me overboard. Yeah. He was so desperate. He was so wandered away from God's will that he wanted to die. Number 3, we see no direct results in our efforts. Look at the end of verse 4. It says, and he said, it is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And here he's talking about in stopping Baal worship. He forgot that this 450 prophets just died. He forgot the past results of what God did. And he's just looking at this moment, and he's running for his life. He was looking at his circumstances, not what God did. Remember, David killed Goliath because he said, look, God was faithful in the bear and the lion, right? He lost his view on God. You would say, you know, people always say to me, if I was in the Red Sea and I saw that, I would never walk away from God. I mean, this guy saw that. He saw fire come down, consume everything. And you think, how in the world? And if he could drift away, I could drift away. So no direct results. You know, we get tired when we serve God and we don't see results. And that's not the reason we serve God, right? It's not for results. We lose hope because we don't see the results that we expect. In any area that you do and serve God in, if you don't see the results that you've lined up, you get so discouraged and you want to stop doing that. That's what I was telling somebody there at their job, and I said, start praying that God will use you at that job. Stop looking at it as just for money. Look at it as a ministry. Just going, Lord, how can I serve you today? Stop looking at the people. You know, whether you're not getting enough money or this or that. And I always say, get another job. Go ahead. That's not wrong to get another job. But when you're there today, we got to represent God. Right? The fourth thing is a symptom. Here's another symptom. We think we're defending on standing alone and doing the right thing. We think, wow, we're the only ones. Look at 1 Kings 19. Go to verse 9 and 10. It says, and I came thither unto a cave, and most believe this cave was the same cave, and we'll talk about this in a minute, and Mount Sinai, where Moses was, where God revealed his backside to him, if you will. And lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? God says, what are you doing here? I didn't direct you here. And in his answer, he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down on altars, and slain the prophets with the sword. I only am left, and they seek my life to take it. He knew there was 100 prophets. If you read back, if you go back to another, I don't have time to go through this, but you go back to chapter 18, there was 100 prophets that Obadiah put in. So he thought, I'm the only one going through this. That is a symptom that you've wandered from God. Nobody's experienced what I'm experiencing right now. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's, you know, a relationship. Maybe it's your health. Maybe it's your finance. Whatever it is, like you come to the conclusion, wow, nobody understands. That's a symptom that you have wandered from God. All right, now let's go to the remedy and we'll close this. You're like, Pastor, you're going to just leave me here? No, I'm going to give you the remedy now, what God does. How do you get out of this wilderness, this tired of doing the right thing in all the areas? This is how. Number one, and you're going to sound, this is going to sound crazy. Number one, take care of your health. Watch this. Go to verse 5. 1 Kings 19:5. And as he lay and slept under the juniper tree, that was like a bush, a desert bush, go to 10 to 12 feet high. Behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. Verse 7. And the angel of the Lord, most believe this is a theophany, it's Christ himself, came again the second time and touched him and said, arise, eat, because the journey is too great for thee. It was 200 miles that he's going to travel now to go to Mount Horeb, Mount Sinai. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that might 40 days and 40 nights and Horeb, the Mount of God. You know, I say that this, the first thing is that Elijah needed some sleep. He needed some nutrition. You know, sleep deprivation is one of the worst things. You could be crazy. If you don't get sleep for 2 or 3 days, and chemicals in your brain, you don't get enough nutrition. You're going to drain your whole nervous system if you don't get enough B complex, you know. So I tell everybody, get back to the basics. Get some sleep. You know, some people are just so depressed. You know, I've gone out of people's house. Come on, get out of bed. Let's go. Let's go. We're going to get something to eat. Because God may not send an angel to you, but he may send a friend. So if you know somebody's depressed, get them up out of bed. Let's go. Come on, just get them up. Feed them. Just do the practical things at first. The second thing is we got to listen again to the Holy Spirit's leading. Look at verse 9 to 13 again. I'll keep it in context now. He came thither unto the cave. He lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken the covenants, thrown down thine altars. I have slain the prophets with a sword. I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Verse 11, and he said, go forth, stand upon the mount. Again, this is Mount Sinai where Moses was. Before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. Right? He was not revealing himself in that, he was saying. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire, a still, small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in a mantle. And he went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? Now watch. We have the Holy Spirit today, if you're a believer. John 16:13 says this. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, he will speak, and he will show you things to come. Just like in the Old Testament, God led the children of Israel with what? A cloud during the day, and a pillar of fire at night. So when that cloud moved, right, they would move. And they stopped, would stop for a day, 2 days, a week, they'd stay there. We have God inside of us, the Holy Spirit. And when you tend to wander away, you got to go back and say, God, I've wandered away. Can you please lead me back? It's a simple prayer, but it's powerful. Keep praying that every day, surrender. Lord, I have drifted away from doing the right thing in this area, in this area, in this area. I am sorry. I repent. I'm coming back. Can you lead me? So first, take care of your health. Two, listen to the Holy Spirit's leading again. And then heed the call to return to the work of God. Number three, look at verses 14 through 17. It says, and he said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altar, slain the prophets with the sword. I only left, and they seek for my life. You see, I'll just go back again for a second. When we're not doing the right thing, what did he want to do? It's the people. They didn't follow God. That's why I'm not following God. No. Remember, we can't blame. Last week, Eve blamed. You know, Adam blamed. God and Eve blamed the serpent. Don't do it. When you've drifted away from God, don't blame anybody else. The reason I'm not serving God is because those people left. Don't do it. Verse 15, and the Lord said unto him, go return on the way to the wilderness of Damascus. when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shall thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elijah, the son of Shaphat, of Abiel, Meholiah. And you can see on your map, that's where he traveled to, where Elijah was. And shall thou anoint to be prophet in the room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword, Jehu shall Elijah slay. So God told him, go back and be a prophet again. Start anointing people and doing what I'm telling you to do. Too many Christians leave serving God in some ministry because they get too tired. Because whether it's, oh, I don't want to teach Sunday school anymore, I don't want to sing anymore, I don't want to do this anymore, I don't want to do this, I just want to sit and do nothing. Man, I've been a pastor and a Christian for a long time, and I've heard those words. So if somebody is getting burnt out, I get it. They shouldn't get burnt out. But they've drifted away from the Lord. Because when you do anything for God, and I do, I should be getting it from God first, right? I should be getting my strength from Him to serve, so I should never get burnt out. We get burnt out when we're in the flesh. We're actually wandering away. We're not getting the strength from God to do this. And you could be the most talented, you know, person that can play the guitar, the drums, whatever it is. You could teach. I know people said, man, I could teach the Word of God, and I could just do it because I know it, because of my intellect. You know, I'm so smart. Some people are so smart that actually they're not depending on God. Yeah. Go back and do what God's calling you to do. Number four, realize you're not the only holy one standing up for God. Look what he says in verse 18. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, not just 100. All the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, every mouth which has not kissed him or worshipped him. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5, 7 through 9, cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Here's the verse I want you to see, though. You know those two verses. He says, from whom resist steadfast in the faith. Be strong in God's word, knowing that what? The same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. You don't stand alone. You know how many Christians are suffering who are trying to do the right thing all over the world day after day after day? It's not just you. Remember our missionary to India, Divakar's? This guy was after him, going to kill him, and he was kind of trying to hide from him, and finally says, that's enough. He went right to the guy, go ahead and kill me. You want to kill me? Go ahead. And the guy didn't kill him. Still alive today. And the last thing, so what's the remedy? Take care of your health. Listen to the Holy Spirit's leading. Heed the call by God to return to the work of God. Realize you're not the only holy one standing for God. And the last thing is help others serve God. Let's close with this, verse 19. And he departed thence and found Elisha. He would succeed Elisha, right? And the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and with the 12. This guy had money. The family had money. Elijah. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. That's the passing of authority, of power, of the office of the prophet to him now. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, go back, for what I have done unto thee. He's saying, yeah, go ahead. Go have a party. Say goodbye. Verse 21. And he returned back from him, and he took a yoke of oxen and slew them. And watch what he did. He boiled the flesh with the instruments of the oxen. He said, I'm not going back to this profession anymore. I'm going to destroy all my instruments. I give unto the people, and they did eat. And he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. That's interesting, too. It's never a one-way street, by the way. When you're pouring into other people, they're pouring back into you. He said, listen, Elijah, you know what you should be doing? Pouring into the next generation. If you're at home, pouring into your kids, pouring mentorship, pouring into other people, that's what I want you to focus on. Stop focusing on yourself. So what's the remedy? Take care of your health. Listen to the Holy Spirit again. Heed the call to return to work. Realize you're not the only holy one standing up. Help others to serve God. I'll end with this passage. 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 4 says this. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace of God. Being says, be empowered by the grace in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who should be able to teach others also. That's discipleship. It's about pouring into this person, this person's going to pour into that. That's a command. It's not an option. And then verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness. It means, it has the idea of, you know, staying under, keep going, enduring as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man at worth entangle himself with affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. Remember, I always say this, the Christian life is a marathon. And you have to endure. Sometimes I'm doing the elliptical, and it says go, you know, 50, I'm going 50, I'm going 60. And the last minute, I'm supposed to go 75. And I'm like, as fast as I can. And inside my mind saying, don't do this. But I have to go with my money. No, I only got another 30 seconds. The Christian life's not easy. You're in a world that's opposed to it. Only through Christ can we do this. So come back today. Maybe you're watching. You've wandered. You know where you've wandered. Come back today. Father, we thank you so much for this passage. Thank you for Elijah. He's real. He struggles like we have, same passions as we have, if you will, as James tells us. But we thank you that you're faithful, that you went after him, Jesus. Even when he was depressed, and you went after him. Everybody with their head bowed, their eyes closed, the first thing I want to ask you today is, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Do you know for certain that you would pass today, that you are going to spend eternity with him? Have you accepted Jesus Christ only? Do you believe he was God? He came down. He lived a life that was perfect. He died on the cross and he was buried and rose again. He's alive. And you're going to place your faith only in him. It's not by works. If you haven't done that, get saved today. Accept Christ. If you are saved, and be honest, have you wandered a little bit, maybe? Maybe you're right now wandering. You're saying, Pastor, I've prayed so many times that it didn't happen. I've been trying to live by the word of God in this area. You know, I'm tired of being single. I'm tired, you know, I'm just in my marriage. I'm trying to pour in, and they you know, the other one doesn't really live for God. You know, my kids, God, you know, they aren't living the way they should. And the scenarios can go on and on and on. I'm telling you, go back to God. Surrender. Take care of yourself, the God, this body that he's created. Call unto him and lead me again, oh God. Let me be controlled by you and not by my circumstances. I'm going to get up and I'm going to start serving God, the talents, the spiritual gifts he's given you. Start using them again. You're not the only one going through things. God is with you. Pour into other people. Stop looking at your own life. That's the remedy. It's clearly what happened. Father, thank you for your word. I didn't create anything today. All I did was amplify it. It's so awesome. Thank you that you never leave us alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a great week. Next week, we're going to look at another one. We got two more to go. God bless.